Now more with Frank Gaffney.
We're back. We are joined for the first time in 2018 by our friend and colleague Gordon Chang, one of the country's preeminent authorities on matters involving Asia, who is a columnist with the Daily Beast. He is an active contributor on Fox News and in so many other outlets to the public policy debate about the developments that are, I suspect, going to, if anything, only intensify in their importance to us in the new year. Gordon, it's so good to have you with us. Welcome back, and I have most happy new year to you.
Happy new year, Frank. And Frank, what you do is absolutely critical to the safety and security of the American people. So thank you so much for letting me be on your program. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Let me ask you, Gordon, first and foremost, I guess we've got to get a stock taking about the country that you've written about in your best-selling book, Nuclear Showdown, North Korea Takes on the World. We've had new threats from the North, the opening of, it appears, talks between the North and the South, Chinese activities in connection with all of this. Give us sort of a lay of the land as we head into 2018.
So much happened in the last few days. The most important thing is Kim Jong-un's New Year's address. He's been doing this every year. And this year, he said two things which are important to us. First of all, he said that on his desk is a nuclear button, but he also indicated that really their arsenal is only for deterrence. I think that he has been unnerved by President Trump's statements about attacking North Korea. The North Koreans right now just want to make sure that they can develop their arsenal in peace. This is going to be one of the big themes going forward about what the United States can do to stop Kim short of the use of force. The other thing, though, Kim extended an overture to South Korea, specifically talking about sending North Korean athletes to the Winter Olympics, which will be held next month, not that far from Seoul. And the people in South Korea are very pleased about that. But we've got to be concerned because President Moon Jae-in of South Korea is a Korean nationalist. He wants to move South Korea closer to China and North Korea and away from the United States. And the Olympics gives Kim Jong-un an opportunity to really pry Seoul away from the alliance.
Well, you call him a nationalist, Gordon Chang. It seems to me he's a leftist, first and foremost, and the alignment or realignment that you've indicated he's interested in has been worrying to us since he came to power. And I guess this is really the first move by the North Koreans to begin exploiting that. Gordon, you had an interesting turn of phrase there. The North Koreans just want to be able to build their arsenal in peace. You know, the trouble is that the arsenal is, unfortunately, by Kim Jong-un's own admission, a threat to this country and a growing one at that. This brings us to the role that the Chinese seem to be playing, a double game, I think is fair to say, at best, with respect to that North Korean threat to the United States. Our friend and colleague Bill Gertz has got an important piece in the Washington Free Beacon today. It is reportedly a document from the internal councils of the Chinese government that lays out this double game with respect to North Korea. They're going to go through the motions of sanctioning them, but they're actually going to arm them further in ways that will be more dangerous for us. We can't attest at this point to the authenticity of this document, of course, Gordon, but does this sound right to you? And if so, is President Trump right to be concerned about Chinese offloading, giving the North Koreans Chinese oil, I should say? And, you know, again, what is the ground truth?
As you point out, we don't know the authenticity of this document, but I think that's almost beside the point because this document does describe accurately China's policies toward North Korea and the United States, its policies on enforcement of sanctions, and also its proliferation of ballistic missile technology and equipment to the North Koreans. So I think what we should be doing is looking at China at what they're actually in fact doing. And this document fortunately lays it all out very clearly. The one thing that China's been doing with North Korea, and it becomes clear as you go through this document, is that they're using North Korea as the paw, using it to destabilize the region, to push the United States out of Asia, and a number of other things. Although Kim talks about deterrence, We've got to be concerned that, and people often say, and a lot of Americans say this, oh, you know, Kim Jong-un just wants to be able to keep his regime in place. He's not going to use the nukes. We don't know that. But more important, we do know that he's going to use the prospect of the destruction of American cities to break the alliance between Washington and Seoul, get our troops off the peninsula so that he can then go ahead and intimidate South Korea into submission. You know, people say, okay, Kim wants regime survival. Yes, that's true, of course. But he defines regime survival as taking over South Korea, because he always talks about this. This is the core goal of the Kim family. If he doesn't make progress toward it, the North Korean people are not going to sacrifice for the regime. So we've got to remember that regime survival in North Korean terms is very different than what we think of, and that this is really a very aggressive policy, and he will use the prospect of nuclear war to achieve his aim.
And Gordon, I guess I just want to emphasize the point you made about the Chinese seeing it is in their interest to have him be able to continue to do so. And the idea that we're going to get their help, let alone their decisive help in dealing with this threat, is, I think, fatuous and increasingly dangerous. As Donald Trump tweeted, I believe, over the holidays, the opportunity for a friendly solution certainly is seemingly now less and less in prospect. Let me ask you about one other thing. Speaking of Donald Trump's tweets, just today, Gordon, he launched his first salvo of the new year against Pakistan in what can only be described as, well, undiplomatic language. There's a lot of to-ing and fro-ing about this. The Pakistanis are very upset. But for many of us, it's a breath of fresh air, speaking quite truthfully about another double game, at best, that the Pakistanis have been playing. Talk a little bit about the tweet, the context, and where we go from here.
Yeah, this was a refreshing blast from President Trump. Someone in the official reaches in Washington had to say this, and it's good that he said this now. Essentially, what he did was he lambasted Pakistan in his first tweet of the year, basically saying that over the course of decades, we have given the Pakistanis $33 billion in aid, and in return, they've given us, as he said, nothing but lies and deceit. I think it's more important right now that we focus on changing our Pakistan policy, and actually talking the truth is really the first step in a long process of untangling ourselves from Islamabad, because our policies over the course of time have not really benefited the United States in the way that we thought. And this is truth-telling. People may or may not think it's a great idea to do this by Twitter. I think it's a perfect idea to do this by Twitter, because we need to signal not only to Islamabad, but also the Chinese who are using the Pakistanis, like they're using the North Koreans, by the way. We need to signal to all of these countries that we're just not going to take this anymore.
Tough love, as they say, at the very least. Gordon, quickly, we don't have time to do justice to this, but since we last talked, I believe, the president unveiled his new national security strategy. And I'd be very interested in sort of your quick take on it as it relates specifically to the area of the world that you focus on most closely, Asia.
Here again is the president speaking truth, because he identifies China and Russia, not as partners, not as friends, as President Obama did and President Bush before him. But he says, look, they're adversaries. And he lays out a strategy for countering the threats from Beijing and Moscow. This is good. As again, it's the first step in actually putting U.S. policy on a much better plane. And the great thing about this national security strategy is also it is consistent with what he said on the campaign trail. You know, too often you get presidents, once they're in office, they issue an NSS, as these documents are called, which have bear no relation to what he said as he was campaigning for office. This one is consistent. There are a lot of things in it I don't like, but nonetheless, this is an important document. I believe it will be considered historic, and it puts the U.S. on the right path with regard to Russia and China.
Well, this will be the subject for many more conversations in the weeks ahead. Gordon, as always, I appreciate all that you do for this program and look forward to a very, very successful exchange with you each week. Thank you for your contributions to Secure Freedom Radio and all the others that you make to our country. Thank you. Next up, we'll speak with Kevin Freeman. We'll take a look at the economic warfare element of the president's new national security strategy and what that might mean for you right after this.
go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.